May the grace of God and the peace of Christ be with us all as we gather for worship on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, 2026. We welcome those of you who have gathered in person and the many who join every week online. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, and I'm sure you met some of them as you walked in today. Our production engineer, our summer choir, there they are, yeah, and special musicians Shannon Quinn and Lorraine Finneson. Our liturgists today are Nate Jones and Lorraine Finneson. Speaking of Nate Jones, Betty Briggs, our vice moderator, comes now to make a special announcement, and then another one.
Good morning, Mayflower. In accordance with statutes of the State of Michigan and Mayflower Congregational Church bylaws, I hereby announce a special congregational meeting to be held today after church here in the sanctuary. The purpose of the meeting will be to consider the licensing of Nathan Jones and his pastoral internship. Thank you. And I have three announcements from Missions and Outreach. First, Christian Services is letting us know that it's back to school season at Judson's Glove Clothing Center. They are asking for folks to consider coming to help parents find appropriate clothing for each child. Or you could bag, sort, and hang clothing that comes in. The dates when help is needed are the Saturdays in August and September from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. I've done this, and it's very rewarding. Fun, too. Individuals and teams of five are welcome. I have a phone number you can call if you're interested. The second notice is to remind you that the second crop fundraiser is tomorrow, Monday, July 27th at Fazoli's on South Cedar from 3 to 6 p.m. You can dine in or carry out, whichever works. You do need to show the flyer for crop to get the fundraiser proceeds. Being their 50th anniversary, they're doing everything they can to raise funds to combat hunger. And finally, our last item is letting you know that you, Mayflower, has delivered 117 pounds of items to South Lansing Ministries for the month of July. That's food and personal needs. The total so far this year is 739 pounds. Good job, Mayflower. That's awesome. Thank you.
And just a reminder, our congregational meeting will be brief unless there's a big debate about Nate Jones. I don't anticipate that. So, and you don't have to be a member to be a part of it. It's a very special time when we as a congregation are able to offer a license on a journey toward ministry, however that will look. And on kind of the same theme, we welcome everyone to join us for food and fellowship in the Friendship Center following worship, and or I should say following our brief congregational meeting. And Nate Jones will be sharing his story, which has led up to his licensure as a pastoral intern here at Mayflower. We've heard lots of stories this summer, last summer, and more to come, and that includes today. August 16th is a very important day. We have a number of teachers here at Mayflower having either been or are teachers, and we have a list that is compiled so far that is on the bulletin board, and I'd like everyone to look that over. If you know anyone or know yourself as a teacher and somehow we missed it, we want to know, because we want to, anybody affiliated with Mayflower, we want to honor their career, their calling on the 16th of August. That'll happen in the Friendship Center during our fellowship time. Teacher Appreciation Day, that is the 16th of August, not too far before we begin the school year. So please familiarize yourself with our worship protocol and mission statement, which are printed in the bulletin. We want all of you to feel welcome and comfortable as we worship together. That is one reason we do not pass offering plates during our stewardship moment later in worship. Faithful giving is never coerced, and our Lord reminds us of the dangers of giving to be seen. But if you have come prepared with a financial offering today, as always, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. And we always thank you for your continued sharing and caring that happens so often and so generously here at Mayflower. Today's worship theme is taken from our lectionary passage in 1 Kings chapter 3, when King Solomon began his reign. And from this narrative comes the question which is raised, indeed I raise it, is wisdom innate or is it acquired? Stay tuned as we now enter a spirit of worship.
Wow. Now I really want to sing that hymn.
Can we work that in later?
Well, good morning, Mayflower. As we have gathered for worship today, we are going to consider the concept of wisdom, beginning with an Old Testament narrative concerning Solomon, who is famous for wisdom. In today's lectionary text, a young Solomon asked God for wisdom, and it was granted. This raises an interesting question. Is that all we have to do to become wise like Solomon? Just ask? Of course, you may guess that it is more complicated and nuanced than that. However, as we continue in worship, let's look for some pearls of wisdom as we search the scriptures. Listen to what we hope will be words of wisdom from the pulpit, and expect a departure from conventional wisdom as we think a little outside the box during our singing, praying, listening, and reflecting. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and ever-present God, source of all wisdom and truth, gather us into your presence as people who do not claim to have all the answers, but who long to grow in understanding. Grant us hearts that are humble enough to listen, minds that remain open to new insight, and spirits courageous enough to follow where wisdom leads, even when it challenges our assumptions or unsettles our comfort. Teach us that true wisdom is measured not by knowledge alone, but by compassion shown, justice pursued, mercy extended, and love embodied. As we worship today, may your Spirit awaken within us the wisdom to discern what is right, the grace to seek the common good, and the resolve to become builders of your beloved community where every voice is valued, every life is cherished, and your vision of peace is made visible in the world. This we pray in the name and Spirit of Christ. Amen.
If I'm not mistaken, there are over 75 years of experience represented what you just heard here today. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? And that doesn't surprise you after hearing what we heard. Well, we are reflecting today on wisdom, whether it is a gift we are born with, whether it is a gift we are given instantaneously by asking God, or how we can grow into it. But in so doing, we are reminded that true wisdom is revealed in lives marked by generosity, compassion, and justice. Our offering is one of the ways that we practice that wisdom, choosing to invest in God's vision of a world where all are welcomed, all are nourished, and all are loved. With that, we now offer to God our time, our talents, our treasures, and ourselves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we gather into this sacred moment, quiet the many voices that compete right now for our attention and open within us the gift of discerning hearts. As the song that we have just sung reminds us to ask for wisdom. So, Lord, grant us wisdom, not merely knowledge nor cleverness, but the courage to recognize what's right, the humility to learn what we do not yet know, and the compassion to respond to the needs of this world with generous and faithful lives. Give us eyes to see those too often overlooked, ears to hear the cries of the oppressed, and hearts that are moved to seek justice, make peace, and extend mercy wherever fear, division, violence, poverty, loneliness, or despair diminish the lives of your beloved children. Remind us that wisdom is not measured by what we possess, but by how deeply we love, how faithfully we serve, and how willingly we walk in the way of Christ. We remember now those who weigh heavily upon our hearts, burdens that we may have come with today, but we now offer to you aloud their names in the silence of these moments, asking for your healing, your comfort, and your strength. Receive these names as our prayers, O God, together with those prayers that are too deep for words, as we now join our voices together in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. Our world often mistakes knowledge for wisdom, power for insight, and certainty for truth. Listen now as we recognize that the biblical tradition of wisdom invites us to see it differently. Hear now these words. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, today before I speak of wisdom, I ask you to grant it to me and to all of us with discerning hearts. Amen. So I'm actually starting my sermon today 4 minutes before 11, and according to the word count on my computer this week, the sermon was 1,350 words. So I need to ask a question. Is there anyone that object to a shorter worship service today? Anybody here? Once in a while I hear objections, but it's never because our service is too short. Today we have some other things to do and have a lot to look forward to. So when we speak of wisdom, do you think that it would be preposterous of me to think that I would have anything to say to most of us who are older and have had experiences in life that should have taught us wisdom? If that's the case, maybe I could just fold it up and we'll sing the closing hymn and go home. But since, in my experience, age has not done everything that's necessary to teach me wisdom, I assume that there might be someone else here today who would feel the same. I will say this, some people seem to be born old. You've probably met them. A 7-year-old who asks questions well beyond their years. A teenager whose judgment you trust more than many adults. Someone who simply seems wise. Sometimes they are endearingly called old souls. Then there are others, and indeed we've all been this person at one time or the other, who have to touch every hot stove before believing it's hot. And it raises a fascinating question. Is wisdom something we're born with? Or is wisdom something we acquire? Now, I assume that you've already postulated in your mind some degree of answer to that question. I don't want to assume that we are all, including myself, unaware of some of these issues. But nonetheless, that question came to me as I read this passage for the preparation of this sermon. Parents with more than one child, how many parents are here that have had more than one child today? Just want to see. Okay, we got a good number of us. Have likely asked that question many times. How can children raised in the same house by the same parents, with the same values, attending the same schools, raised in the same neighborhood, having many of the same opportunities, grow into such remarkably different people? If anybody has a defined answer to that, I invite you to the pulpit right now to share it with us. One child naturally thinks before acting. Another leaps before looking. One possesses emotional intelligence almost instinctively. Another struggles for decades. Which one of those children were you? Do you have any idea which one I was? Is it nature or nurture? Is it innate and acquired? So from a parental view, we can see the dilemma here. Oddly enough, our lectionary text raises exactly that question. But before we can understand this story, we have to know something about Solomon himself. Chronologically, the story occurs very early in his reign. We know that we call him King Solomon. David, Solomon's father, has died. The kingdom has entered a tense period of transition. Solomon has inherited the throne, but not without controversy. His older brother Adonijah had already attempted to seize the kingdom. Political intrigue surrounded David's final days. Solomon's throne was secure, but only barely. Most scholars estimate Solomon was somewhere between 18 and 22 years old, perhaps 20, when this dream occurred. So the Hebrew phrase that you heard just a few moments ago translated, "I am only a little child," in the 7th verse, almost certainly is not literal. It was a common expression of humility and inexperience. Jeremiah used similar language when he was called as a prophet, as you may remember. In other words, Solomon is saying, "I am young. I have never done this before. I don't know how to lead." And that may be the wisest thing he says in the entire story. Ask almost anyone what Solomon is remembered for, and one word will always come to mind: wisdom. His reputation spread throughout the ancient world, then down through the centuries to this very day. There is a famous story of the two women claiming the same baby, which follows immediately after today's reading. And for familiarity's sake, Deanne read this story to me in the car coming over this morning. A fascinating story where Solomon's wisdom was such that he could detect which of the two women. Anybody remember this story? Yes, I see heads nodding up and down. Where one baby died and the other lived, and there were two mothers and the babies were switched. And then Solomon, very cleverly, with wisdom, was able to discern who it was that had the baby who was still alive. Well, there was another story of the Queen of Sheba. And by the way, the Queen of Sheba, and her reputation runs across all kinds of history, back around the 10th century before the Common Era. And if you want to read about the Queen of Sheba, you don't only read about it in the Bible. You can read about it in Josephus. You can read about it in the Quran. And there are all kinds of different narratives on who she was. But she journeyed hundreds of miles to test Solomon's wisdom. And he becomes the biblical symbol of wisdom itself. Tradition credits him with writing Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, although modern biblical scholarship recognizes that these books were compiled over centuries and likely include many voices beyond Solomon himself. Some proverbs in Scripture do indeed preserve ancient Solomonic sayings, while the books in their present form are later connections. But here is something interesting. If Solomon was so wise, his later life raises uncomfortable questions for us as believers and people of the book. The Bible tells us that Solomon accumulated astonishing wealth. He accumulated horses, military power, political alliances, 700 wives and 300 concubines. How wise is that? He imposed heavy taxation upon people who could not afford it. Forced labor. Eventually, according to the biblical writers, his heart drifted away from God, and his kingdom fractured after his death. So, if wisdom were simply intelligence, Solomon had plenty. If wisdom were merely knowledge, he excelled. But true biblical wisdom appears to involve something deeper. One can possess remarkable intellect and still make profoundly destructive choices in our own century, even in most recent times, offers abundant examples. Brilliant scientists, gifted CEOs, powerful politicians, influential university professors, exceptional physicians, charismatic preachers, technological geniuses. High IQ has never guaranteed moral wisdom. Against that backdrop comes today's story. God appears in a dream. God says to Solomon, "Ask what I should give you." Imagine that question. How would you answer it? Health? Long life, a great family, success, security, victory over enemies. Instead, Solomon asked for what the Hebrew language literally calls a listening heart, lev shamea. Not merely intelligence, not higher IQ, not encyclopedic knowledge, but a heart capable of listening. Listening to God. Of course, we know that's true. I think a more important thing in the way we think about this is listening to people. Listening carefully enough to discern what is just. Have you ever had conversations with people that don't really want to listen to you? You can judge this, especially with people that are new into your acquaintance, is how many questions they ask about you and how much they want to tell you themselves. Listening carefully enough to discern what is just, and that may be the most beautiful wisdom of all in Scripture. Wisdom begins with listening. Modern psychology has wrestled with the same question. Is wisdom inherited or is it developed? Researchers increasingly suggest that while temperament has genetic influences for all of us, wisdom itself, you guessed it, is largely cultivated. Articles in Psychology Today, and I love that magazine, summarizing decades of psychological research, frequently describe wisdom as a combination of intellectual humility, emotional regulation, empathy, openness to multiple perspectives, and reflective judgment, qualities that can grow over a lifetime through relationships, adversity, intentional reflection, and practice. Developmental psychologists such as Paul Baltes and colleagues argued that wisdom is not simply intelligence or age, but an expertise in the fundamental pragmatics of life. Others, including Robert Sternberg, describe wisdom as balancing one's own interests with the common good through ethical judgment, and that is my favorite definition of wisdom. Balancing one's own interests with the common good through ethical judgment. Notice how closely this comes with our scripture. Neither defines wisdom primarily as raw intelligence. Wisdom is relational. It is reflective, I should say. It is humble. and it is teachable. Scripture agrees, mostly. But the Bible adds something psychology cannot. Wisdom grows. But it also insists that wisdom ultimately belongs to God, or with God. Proverbs says, and you know this one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not terror, but reverence, which is a better translation for the word fear. Humility and recognizing we do not know everything. The New Testament book of James echoes that beautifully. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. In other words, God will not make us feel embarrassed for that which we don't know when we ask for wisdom. And I suppose the same thing is true in our relationships, that when we ask someone else for wisdom, that we don't feel shamed for asking it. Notice what James does not say. He doesn't say, if you weren't born wise, too bad, so sad. Instead, ask for wisdom. Seek and yearn for wisdom, because we never have enough of it. God delights in giving wisdom. And this is where I think progressive Christianity has something deeply important to contribute here. We sometimes speak of wisdom as though it were an individual possession. My wisdom, my insights, my discernment, or biblically, the wisdom of Solomon, as if it's singular. But Scripture almost always places wisdom inside community. Parents teaching children. Elders teaching the young. Prophets correcting kings. Rabbis gathering disciples. Jesus forming a community. And Paul writing to churches. Wisdom isn't downloaded. It is shared. It is tested. It is corrected. And it is expanded. That is one reason that worship matters. Bible study matters. Listening to those whose experiences differ from our own matters greatly. The beloved community becomes one of God's primary classrooms. I have learned some of life's deepest wisdom not from books, but from hospital rooms, funerals and memorial services, committee meetings, and children. Tour buses full of people different from me. Poor people in Juarez, Mexico, who are fulfilled and happy. People whose suffering has taught them compassion. People whose failures made them humble. People whose faith survived terrible grief. I have learned much wisdom from you, Mayflower Church. All of these experiences and people become living commentaries on the scriptural truth. Perhaps we need to pause and think how we gain wisdom in the beloved community. We insist that every voice matters. The immigrant, the refugee, the elderly, the teenager, the scientist, the teacher, the artist, the janitor, and on the list goes. The person who has suffered racism, the person recovering from addiction, the homeless person, the person who has buried a spouse. Each carries wisdom no one else possesses. If we fail to listen, our understanding of God becomes smaller, much smaller. If we listen, our wisdom grows. So, is wisdom innate or acquired? Perhaps the answer I would like to give you this morning is yes. Some people begin life with temperaments that make wisdom seem easier. That's just the experiences and the observations we make. Others must struggle more intentionally, but none of us arrives fully wise. Wisdom is cultivated. It is practiced. It is shared. It is prayed for. It is corrected. It is refined. and the ultimate source remains God. God gives wisdom generously, but God usually gives it through the most ordinary of means, through Scripture, through prayer, through honest conversation, through failure, through forgiveness, through neighbors, and through the beloved community. Perhaps the greatest wisdom Solomon ever displayed was not in deciding between two mothers. It was in recognizing at the beginning of his reign that I don't know enough. The beginning of wisdom is not having all the answers. It is having enough humility to ask. And perhaps that is the prayer we should leave with today. Lord, not Lord, make me smarter or make us smarter. Lord, not Lord, make us more successful. But Lord, give us listening hearts. In a noisy world, a listening heart may be the rarest wisdom of all. Amen. Comes to wisdom, we come and ask, like the song says, as little children. So as we leave today, and hopefully you're not going to leave now, but if you have to, whenever you leave, let us leave with the confidence that it is God who lovingly, cheerfully, and with great motivation offers all of us wisdom. And then beyond that, as representative in God's beloved community, we offer the wisdom of our own life's experiences, our own failures, our own forgiveness, our own journey with God, giving and sharing wisdom with each other that we so desperately need, and when received, makes us so happy. So go in the peace, the love, and the wisdom of God through Christ. Amen. Some of you might be asking about a couple people in our congregation. Arlene, who so many times is sat right here with her walker nearby and the cheer and smile on her face. Right now, it's not so cheerful because she's had a rough go of it after she took her fall. She's been in the McLaren Hospital, and she was transferred, I believe, on Friday to the Willows Rehabilitation in Okemos. So we'll be keeping close track of Arlene. And then I believe the person who is our oldest member, Ina, took a fall, and it was her knee. It wasn't her hip, but she was just bright and lively and talkative as ever in the hospital. But she's gone on to Dobie Road for rehabilitation, and it's about a six-week journey for her before she can put weight on that leg. But she... She's a whippersnapper, let me tell you. And then some of you might want to know what happened to Ruth Posh just in the last 24 hours. I got a call from Rachel yesterday and told me that, I wish I could say this scientific word, but you know, the lettuce disease, Ruth got it. And her grandson, Damien, came home and came. He's been living with her, and he found her on the bathroom floor. They got her to St. John's Hospital. They needed to transfer her. They, for whatever reason, I think it was full at Sparrow, so they transferred her to the Ionia Hospital, where Ruth is resting more comfortably today. They're giving her fluids, and she is on the road to recovery. Rachel told me that she's doing fine. Rachel also told me to give her loving greetings to this congregation because she's looking forward to being back with us in September, and she told me she was having a wonderful summer. Now, those are only the few. We could go on forever with updates, but I think those are the people that come right to our minds. So, with that, if you need to leave now, that's fine, but I'm just going to ask you to remain seated, and we'll have a very brief congregational meeting, and then we'll head for the Fellowship Hall or Friendship Center. If you need to go to the Friendship Center now, that's okay. If you want to get an early snack, so have a seat, and I need a quick comment.